وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We continue taking lesson from the Kitab al-Nikah, the book of marriage, from the Kitab al-Bulugh al-Maram, حديث 832. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يخطب أحدكم على خطبة أخيه حتى يترك الخاطب قبله أو يأذن له الخاطب. متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يخطب أحدكم على خطبة أخيه حتى يترك الخاطب قبله أو يأذن له الخاطب. متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. حديث 832 نارير ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said: None of you should ask a woman in marriage when his brother has done so already, until the one who has proposed means to her before him gives her up or he gives him permission. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, said, No one of you should ask a woman in marriage when his brother has done so already, until the one who has proposed before him gives her up or gives him permission. Agree upon the wording is al-Bukhari. This prohibition is to evade an already settled betrothal, means engagement to marry. If a girl is already promised to someone, the second person should not make a proposal. However, if the first is cancelled, then it's permitted to make a proposal. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the Muslim to engage and to seek the hand of a woman or to involve her mother about marriage while there is another one is already in that process. So she is not allowed. You come to know that there is someone who is interested in so-and-so sister, and he started making his proposal. You are not allowed to do the same. Rather, you either wait until he gives up or until he allows you to make your proposal. There is a woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she mentioned that three companions engage her. One is Muawiyah, and another one is Abu Jahm, and another one is Usama. She consulted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He alayhi salatu wasalam told her, as for Muawiyah, فَصُعْلُوكُنْ لَا مَالَ لَهِ He doesn't have wealth. Doesn't have what she is in need of. And as for Abu Jahm, فَضَرَّابُ لِلنِّسَاءِ لَا يَضَعُ الْعَصَى عَنْ عَتِقِهِ كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. He beats the women. He doesn't put down his stick. What does it mean? Does it mean he beats or it means he travels a lot by carrying his stick? The ulama, they said both. Whichever it is, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised her to marry Usama. انكحي أسامة رضي الله عنه. She did it. So the point is that these Sahaba didn't know one another. They didn't know one another. Because it's not allowed if one of them engaged and his case was not rejected yet, let alone being accepted. If his proposal is accepted, then that's more clear not to involve. But if he's not accepted and not rejected yet, and he made the proposal, he's not allowed to make a proposal to the same lady. Rather, you wait until he gives up, they reject him, or until he himself tells you that he is out of it, even if they interested in. Next hadith, then this is from the keeping the brotherhood and avoiding hatred. Likewise, business, you come to a store, someone in negotiate about the product to buy. He's asking the other one, how much? Say $20. The other one say, no, it's a lot. You're not allowed to involve and to say, no, I give you more than that, or I give you, just to wait until they've done it. Unless it's bay' al-muzayada, except if it is like the auction. People already know it. They come there for whoever paid the most, he takes. So he said $300. You can say, no, I pay $350. Another one can say $400, as long as they are truthful. They are honest, no deception. Sometimes they make this deception. Someone who doesn't want to buy, he want to raise the value of the product. It's not allowed. But if that's not the case, they're honest, they mean to buy it, then in this case, this is different. This is different. That's allowed. But something which is not from that angle. Therefore, this one, the auction, if someone raises, he says, I pay more than what he pay, he doesn't take it personal. Because he knows, he's expecting that. Unlike the other transactions, somebody in his store, you want to buy, another one come on top of you, he buys. Or he make the value, the price up. It's not allowed. To keep the brotherhood, to avoid hatred and arguments. This is from the principles of the deen, to keep the brotherhood and love among Muslims, one another. Because no doubt if you are interested in a sister and you make proposal and you want to marry her, and suddenly another one who knows you involved, he come and you are canceled. She changed her mind because you know who is the cause. No doubt you will not be happy with that person. You will not be happy with that person. وعن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله جئت أهب لك نفسي فنظر إليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصعد النظر فيها وصوبه فصعد النظر فيها وصوبه ثم طأطأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأسه فلما رأت المرأة أنه لم يقضي فيها شيئا جلست فقام رجل من أصحابه فقال يا رسول الله إن لم تكن لك بها حاجة فزوجنيها فقال يا رسول الله إن لم تكن لك بها حاجة فزوجنيها قال فهل عندك من شيء فقال لا والله يا رسول الله فقال لا والله يا رسول الله فقال اذهب إلى أهلك فانظر هل تجد شيئا فذهب ثم رجع فقال لا والله ما وجدت شيئا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظر ولو خاتما من حديد فذهب ثم رجع فقال لا والله يا رسول الله ولا خاتما من حديد ولكن هذا إزاري قال سهل ما له رداء هذا إزاري قال سهل ما له رداء فلها نصفه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما تصنع بإزارك إن لبسته لم يكن عليها منه شيء إن لبسته لم يكن عليها منه شيء وإن لبسته لم يكن عليك منه شيء فجلس الرجل حتى إذا طال مجلسه قام فرآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليا فأمر به فدعي به فلما جاء قال ماذا معك من القرآن؟ قال معي سورة كذا وسورة كذا، عددها. فقال تقرأهن عن ظهر قلبك، تقرأهن عن ظهر قلبك؟ قال نعم. قال اذهب فقد ملكتكها بما معك من القرآن. متفق عليه. فلما جاء قال ماذا معك من القرآن؟ قال معي سورة كذا وسورة كذا، عددها. فقال تقرأهن عن ظهر قلبك؟ قال نعم. قال اذهب فقد ملكتكها بما معك من القرآن. متفق عليه. واللفظ لمسلم، وفي رواية له انطلق فقد زوجتكها فعلمها من القرآن. وفي رواية للبخاري أملكناكها بما معك من القرآن. This long حديث، حديث سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنهما، حديث أيضا 33، الصحابي سهل reported a woman came to Allah's messenger محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. A woman came to Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, oh Allah's messenger, I come to offer myself to you. Oh Allah's messenger, I come to offer myself to you. Meaning in marriage. Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم look her up and down. Look her up and down means carefully. And then Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم lower his head. When the woman saw that he had not made any decision regarding her, she sat down. A man of his companion then stood up and said, oh Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have no need for her, marry her to me. Oh Allah's messenger, if you have no need for her, marry her to me. He asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have anything, means to give her as a dowry, do you have anything? He replied, no, I swear by Allah, O Allah's messenger. He thereupon said, go to your family and see if you can find something. He went and then returned and said, no, I swear by Allah, I found nothing. Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then said, look for something, even if it should be an iron ring. Look for something, even if it should be an iron ring. He went and then returned and said, no, I swear by Allah, O Allah's messenger, not even an iron ring, but I have only this, meaning lower garment of mine. Sahal, the Sahabi, said he had no upper garment. He said, no, I swear by Allah, O Allah's messenger, not even an iron ring, but I have only this lower garment of mine. The Sahabi Sahal radiallahu anhu said, he had no upper garment. The Sahabi said, I have only this lower garment of mine, and I shall give her half of it. And I shall give her half of it. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, what will she do with your lower garment? For if you wear it, there will be nothing of it on her. And if she wears it, there will be nothing of it on you. The man then sat down. And when he had sat for a long time, he stood up, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him departing. So he commanded him, and he was called back. When he came back, he said, what do you have, meaning, what do you memorize from the Quran? He replied, I have surah such and such. Then he counted. Then he asked, can you recite them by heart? He replied, yes. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go, for I have given her to you in marriage for the part of the Quran which you know. Go, for I have given her to you in the marriage for the part of the Quran which you know. Agree upon then wording is Muslims. Another narration has, go, for I have given her to you in marriage, so teach her some of the Quran. A narration by Al-Bukhari has, I have married her to you for the part of the Quran which you know. In this hadith, there are a lot of lessons. From that, the messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, when the Sahabiya Al-Wahiba radiallahu ta'ala anha present herself to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in marriage, she didn't go to anyone else. Rather, she presented herself, she offered herself to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the woman chooses the best she knows from the people. Nothing is wrong with that. Likewise, the father or the guardian, he chooses for his daughter the best he knows from the man. Nothing of that is shame, rather is good. Also, in this hadith, that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she made the offer, he didn't say yes or no until he looked at her. He looked at her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looked her up and down, means carefully. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lowered his head, meaning he turned away from her. In this hadith, if there is any hope, there may be any interest, any possibility, a man to marry a woman, that to look at her, to see who you marry. There is another hadith Jabir, he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he engaged a woman. He asked sallallahu alaihi wasallam him, have you seen? He said no. He said, "Unzur ilayha," look at her. Look at her. Originally, he's not allowed to look at the woman. He has to lower his gaze. But here there is a need. He's interested in marriage. So, the ulama, they say, "Ma hurrima li ghayrihi fa yustabahu bil haja. Wa ma hurrima li dhatihi fa yustabahu bil darura." The things which is forbidden is two types. Something which is forbidden by itself, and something which is forbidden for another reason. Something which is forbidden by itself, like idol worshiping, the statue, the idol itself, the alcohol, the like, the haram itself. And something which forbidden, not because of itself, but what it leads to, is a means to bigger things. So, it's not allowed to look at the woman because of what it may lead to. Therefore, Allah commands to lower the gaze, not to look at her. But if there is a need, as for the haram, that what's forbidden by itself is allowed for necessity. Drinking alcohol is not allowed. But somebody is in a state of necessity, he's allowed. Someone is swallow something, he drink meat, he eat meat, he stab on his throat, he's not going down, he's not able to breathe, he's about to pass away, he has no something to drink but alcohol next to him, he's allowed to drink it, to swallow it, whatever bothered him. So originally, drinking alcohol is haram by itself. But because of necessity, this person is about to die. Necessity, ماذا؟ هو أن يخشع أن يبلغ به الأمر الهلاك والموت. أو تفوت عضو من أعضائه. أو يحصل له ما يشبه الهلاك. So the necessity is something, if you don't do it, you fear, and it's a reality. It's not assumption, something you should fear, most likely sure that you will die. You will die. Or you lose one of your limbs, your eye. And someone, if he doesn't drink this alcohol, he doesn't eat this pork, he's going to pass away. Now he's allowed to eat the pork. with conditions, of course. You cannot get another halal. He will not continue eating even after the necessity situation he passes and the like. But this is originally haram. He's allowed because of the necessity. Otherwise, he will pass away. Or he will not pass away, but he lose one of his limbs, one of his parts of his body, his hand, his eye. A doctor tell him, if you don't eat this pork, you don't drink this alcohol, you lose your eye. There's no other way to keep the eye. Now it's allowed. He told him, if you make sujood, you're losing the eye. You will never see anything. Or whole eye will fall down if you make sujood. Now it's necessity. Then he doesn't make sujood. When he's praying, he just remains seated. Because he's losing one of his limbs. And the other is ma yushbihul halak. That which is mada yushbihul halak. It's like dying. And that's if somebody losing his religion, or his honor, or his intellect, or his wealth. And the point is, something haram is not allowed, is permissible in a state of necessity. Something which is not haram by itself, it was forbade what it leads to. It is allowed for a need. It's allowed because of the need. For instance, here, looking at the woman, a foreigner, is not allowed. Ulama, they say not because by itself, but what it leads to, of major sin, haram, is not allowed. What's not allowed because of or something else is allowed because of a need, not because of necessity. But even because of it, there is no necessity. You will not pass away. You will not lose one of your limbs. You are not losing those four necessary things. But you need it. Then now you are allowed. So even though this man marrying a woman without seeing her is not necessary. To see her is not necessary. You can marry her. It's permissible. It's not haram. Okay, it's permissible. And in reality, the reality is that the woman is not how she looks originally. Alhamdulillah, generally, women are handsome. Women are beautiful. As general, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Men are handsome. Allah created the human in a beautiful way, in a handsome way. That's the origin. Maybe relative, some individual, some other individual might not look to them handsome. That's not the, some rare case, but not the most. So, but the reality, the real beauty is the manner, is the character. Somebody treats you well, nice, kind, generosity, just good, helping, supportive, mother, assistant, regardless how the person look like. He will seem to you, mashallah, very handsome. Person treats you badly. Badly, harmful person. Regardless how handsome he is physically, he is not handsome to you in reality. So again, it's not haram to marry a woman you never saw her. And actually it happened. Some of the Salaf, they did it. But, so it's not necessary to look at her. Then why is it allowed to look at her? If not necessary, it's because what was forbade to look at it wasn't because of itself, it's because of what it leads to. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam look at this woman carefully to look if she is suitable to him. And then sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't have interest in her, whatever the reason may be. But at the same time, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say anything. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, I don't have interest in you. This was from his good manner, conduct. He disliked something. He was not sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, I dislike it. Even the food, his wife is serving him. He likes, he eats. He doesn't like it. He doesn't say anything about the food. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he turned away from her. Then she sat down because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give her a decision. She sat down waiting until one of the Sahaba stood up. He said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, if you don't have interest in her, I have it. Yes, because you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying anything to the woman. And the woman, she is sitting down waiting. So he understood, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does have interest in her. And that she is there for marriage. So he said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, he mentioned that he is available. Then he alayhi wa sallam asked him, what he has? Does he have a dowry? This is the right of a woman. وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً. This is her right, a woman. A dowry is given to the woman. You want to marry a woman, you have to have a dowry. Something to give her. Gold or silver or money or any other things. Kitab of Sahih al-Bukhari. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the man. So Allah said, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً is a mandatory. It's not sunnah to give your wife a dowry. It's a mandatory. It's her right. It's not something you can't ignore. She can forgive. Yes. She can give up. That's her choice. It's her right. You can give away your property, your belongings to whoever you want. But other than that, this is her right. طيب. In Islam, the woman, she is the one who takes care of. She is take care of. She is not the one who takes care of the man. She marrying the man. That's not the origin. It's not the woman. It's not she. It's not her who providing for her husband. That's not in Islam. Islam is the man who provides his wife. Not the opposite. The woman, she is not the one who provides her kids. Working for her. That's not in Islam. That's in another system. It's the man who provides for his kids, the father. Regardless, the woman works, she doesn't work, she has money, she doesn't have it. They marry, they are not married. That's not with the woman. It's on the man to provide for his kids. So, likewise, the dowry she is given. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have anything? He said, no. He said, go to your family. Go to your family member, your relative. Yes, especially those, if you would have passed away, who would have inherited you. They take your wealth. Your brothers, your uncles, your cousins, let alone the parents. Find something. He come back, he said, he doesn't have anything. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walau khatam min hadid. Even a ring iron ring, very cheap. It's not a gold, it's not silver, it's not money. He doesn't have even that. Then he said, oh, I only have my garment, means lower garment. La ilaha illallah. He doesn't have even matter rida. He doesn't have something to cover his shoulder. The izar is the lower part. The clothes you cover, which covers the lower part to the belly. The rida is on the top. He doesn't have it. This Sahabi, he left Islam. He had a question, why Islam? Why is Islam? Because that's his situation. He cannot find even iron ring. He cannot find that from his family. They like him. He doesn't have even... let alone another piece of cloth, even he cannot cover all his body. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, when he said he has his lower garment, he tell him, what do you do with that? What's she doing with that? If you wear it, she cannot benefit from it. And if she wears it, you cannot benefit from it. That's all he has. Then he remains silent. Then all closed the gate on him. He just left it. Khalas. What he can do? He just left. When he left, turned away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him. Say, call him. Then he asked a question. What do you memorize from the Quran? He said, I memorize that surah, that surah, that surah. Then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then I marry her to you to teach her. Teach her the Quran you memorize. He asked, what do you have from the Quran? He said, ماذا معك من القرآن عليه السلام قال معي سورة كذا وكذا. عددها. He counted the surah. He named surahs. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تقرأهن عن ظهر قلبك. تقرأهن عن ظهر قلبك. You recite from your heart. It's not you reciting from the mushaf, from somewhere, but by heart. He said yes. Then he صلى الله عليه وسلم told him to teach her. And that's a dowry for her. That's a dowry for her. And the messenger Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, he is the guardian of this woman. He is the guardian of this woman. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he married her to that sahabi. And the Sahaba who were sitting there, they were the witnesses. It wasn't the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salam and the Sahabi and the women only. There has to be two male, at least just witnesses. They have to be their witness in marriage. A man and woman cannot marry among themselves. Even her father cannot marry her to him without the presence of another person, witness. SubhanAllah, some countries, specifically Somalia, they do a corruption. Something, it doesn't happen. I don't think it happened anywhere on the earth. Tell me, Brother Abdurrahman, if it happened from Burkina Faso, tell me. What is that? A man wanted to marry a lady. He doesn't expect that he will be allowed to marry her. Whatever the reason, financial or whatever, where he from, what the language he speak to, actually not language, accent. What he does, he agree with her, they leave. They go about 30 kilometers, about 25 miles. 30 kilometers, how many miles? But Africa, they use kilometers, they don't use miles. So about that, about 20. About 20, between 20 and 30. So he go there, he look for a sheikh. Of course, Sufi sheikh, not Salafi sheikh. He said, sheikh, I want to marry this woman. Nobody's with him. Him and her, traveling. The third is the closest, is the closest, but they may travel days. Sometimes he take his friend with him. Many cases they do that. He has his friend with him. He doesn't want to be alone with her. And then you go to this sheikh. This sheikh says, where is the wali? He says he's far away. We are far away now from the wali, 30 kilometers. And even more. He said, okay, I'm her wali from now on. This woman never married. It doesn't matter. She married before. It doesn't matter. And he married her. This is they call masafa. And then when they come back, this is a reality. The father has to accept it. Because the woman she already married, sheikh made already the marriage, a judge made already marriage, it's done. So he has to negotiate now. He gets mad, doesn't change anything. Marriage already took place. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Is that happened in Burkina Faso? You never heard it. Otherwise, you know, all over the world. It happened? Are you serious? It happened, illegal marriage? Sure. SubhanAllah. Who married her to him? A sheikh? That sheikh is not asking where is her guardian? Okay.
His
Yes, understandable. Oh, he said now you have excuse. It doesn't reach out to the... look, no, so now he's coming from this Allahu Alam. In this case, he's saying this woman, she's being neglected. Because of that, she's in a necessity. Instead of falling into haram, she has right. Maybe they're coming from that. This one is illegal. That's a matter. It's just a simple 30 kilometer. He will reject. He will not reject. It's not an effect. Just a distance. Nothing else. It doesn't matter. He will allow. He will not allow. He will not ask. It's just a distance. Therefore, to see the difference. If this man, the daughter, father, or her guardian, her brother, who is the wali, he find out that, he go after them. He go after. They don't know it. They come to here in Stone Mountain, for instance. He's in the. They are not far away from him, 30 kilometers, right? He's in the same city, but they don't know it. This sheikh, he make the marriage. So-called sheikh, he make the marriage. It happened. This man, he go back to wherever he from. He come to the father. He said, "Father, deal with me. I already married your daughter." He said, "How you married?" He said, "I ran with her. I went to the distance." He said, "I was there." Now it's canceled. With them, with the sheikh, all that is canceled. Why? Because of the distance. So it was, it's somehow different than what you tell me of, because he will not marry her, because he neglecting her, because all those things. Ala kulli hal, this is subhanAllah, something happening. Wal'iyadu billah. Of course, was the rule of the marriage? Was the children who born that way? That's another issue. The ulama, they say, any marriage which people consider to be legal, they consider to be not haram, is something right. It's called nikah shubha. It's a nikah of doubt. Nikah shubha. If those two men, the woman and the man, they believe what they're doing is according to Islam, is right, it's not wrong, it's called nikah shubha. So the children are legal, but this has to be cancelled. It has to be cancelled. They have to renew the marriage, and even to avoid arguments, the nikah is batil, it doesn't exist. But in order to avoid any arguments or any confusion, the man to say, "I divorce her," and then if someone want to marry her or not. Ala kulli hal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here he was the wali. And this hadith, it shows that the dowry can be teaching the woman the Quran. Some scholars, they see that was necessity. Otherwise, Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. The dowry should be mal. What is mal? Wealth. It's not Quran. Has to be wealth. So they say it has to be wealth because of this ayah. As for the hadith, was necessity. The man has nothing else. Al-ilmu inda Allah. Ala kulli hal, that a man should mada. Also in the hadith, if this man doesn't have a dowry, he doesn't have even a dowry. The only thing he has, surah to teach her. What do you think about providing the provision? What is the condition of? If she accepts, that's fine. They live together, they manage life. It's her right. If not, then she has right to get house, to get provision, to get clothes, to get rather the necessity of life. Otherwise, she can say no to this man. Last hadith, and this ولي أبي داود عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ما تحفظ قال سورة البقرة والتي تليها قال فقم فعلمها 20 آية. أبو داود has a narration from أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. He asked, what have you memorized? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the Sahabi, what have you memorized? He replied, Surah Al-Baqarah and the one that follows it. Then he said, get up and teach her 20 verses. Teach her 20 verses. So the Sahabi memorized Surah Al-Baqarah and Al Imran. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him to teach 20 verses. If this wording, if this narration is authentic, I do not know it. But the other one is something collected by Bukhari Muslim. Some wording by Bukhari, some wording by Muslim. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. Any correction, any benefit? بارك الله فيكم. نعم الأحناف صحيح للثيب للثيب نعم ده علماء some of the people of knowledge علماء الأحناف حنفية they say if the woman is not a virgin if she married before she doesn't have it's not a condition to have a guardian. She can marry herself to whoever she chooses. She doesn't. That's what the ulama they say. Because they use hadith ثَيِّبُ مَالَا تُسْتَأْمَرُ وَالْبِكْرُ تُسْتَأْذَنُ وَإِذْنُهَا صُمَاتُهَا. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the woman means who married before. What do you call it? Widow? What do you call it? Widow. That woman, she has asked a command. She is asked a command to marry the man, to give order, to stammer, to tutlabu minha al-amr. She's being asked to give order to marry the woman. But the young who never married before, to sta'adhan, she will be asked permission. So the first one, she is asked to give order, to give a command. Do you want to marry this one? Yes. Marry her to me. As for the young one who never married, to start then she will be asked permission. Do I marry this man to you? وَإِذْنُهَا سُمَاتُهَا. And her permission, giving a permission, is to remain silent, to be quiet. So they say this hadith shows that these two women are different. One is the one who giving the order. And if she is the giving the order, she doesn't need somebody else's order. She the one who given the order. She the one who married. As for the other one, she will be asked permission. That is their understanding. Some other ulama, the mature, they say no. Hadith doesn't mean that. Hadith, it means that the widow, she can express her feeling. She interested in to marry. She can say, yes, marry me to him. I interested in. Unlike the one who never married, she's shy. Even in the hadith, she may not even say, yes, I don't have a problem with. She's shy. Therefore, her way of permission is to remain silent. So if she remains silent, that means she's okay with it. If she doesn't want it, she will say no. Somebody, what he doesn't want, what she doesn't want, she will say no. But she may not say, yes, I want to marry. I have desire for a man. She may not say that. So she remained silent. That's how. So, but the hadith doesn't mean that one, she doesn't need worry, this she doesn't need worry. Even if the hadith can be understood from that, okay, how about the other hadith, which is clear? If there is hadith which can may carry more than one meaning. It can be this, it can be mean this. How about if we find other hadith text on the issue? Like the hadith Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أيما امرأة نكحت بغير إذن وليها فنكاحها باطل. Any woman who married without the permission of her guardian, her nikah is falsehood. What do you do? This hadith is very clear. Any woman. No distinction. Another hadith, al-mar'atu la tunkihu al-mar'a wa la tunkihu nafsaha. Al-mar'atu la tuzawwij, la tunkihu al-mar'atu al-mar'ata wa la tunkihu nafsaha, kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. So a woman, she is not guardian for a woman to marry, nor does she marry herself to someone. This is another authentic hadith. Another hadith, la nikaha illa bi wali. There is no nikah without a wali, without a guardian. So, oh Ahnaf, what do you do with all these clear hadith? And so yes, they say that. But this is where, if the people of knowledge, they differ, maybe the Ahnaf, they don't know those hadith. It's possible. Those who gave those verdict at the beginning, maybe they didn't know those hadith. Or maybe they thought it's not authentic. Or there's other reasons. So they have excuse. We don't say the people of Nile, they ignored the hadith. No. Those ulama, the Abu Ahnaf, they follow Abu Hanifa, Muhammad bin Hassan al-Shaybani, Qadi Abu Yusuf, and the like, those scholars, they don't follow desire. They find the text, they stick to it. This is what we should think about the people of knowledge. They know the truth, they don't take it. No, it doesn't happen from the alim. But what may happen, he may not know it. He may forget it. He may think it's not authentic. He may think it contradicts to another narration. He may misinterpret. He may interpret in a certain way. He may. But regardless what the cause, you, when you come to know these other narrations, you find the people of knowledge, they differ. Now you stick and follow what you think is the closest, is the haq. And in this case, these hadith are very clear, while that hadith is not a clear. Al-Muhim, and this is an example, an issue that in one hadith is not clear. In one ayah is not clear. But when you look at other ayat, when you look at other hadith, you find the issue is very clear. Therefore, the ulama like Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, he said, what means the chapter, what relates to the chapter of text is, if you don't gather all of it, you don't understand it well. So when you're talking about the wali, the rule of having a guardian for a woman to marry, you don't only look one verse or two verse or one ayah or one hadith. Look everything related to that chapter, relate to that matter. And then now you have a conclusive decision. Naam. Wallahu alam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Ahlan. Yes, bismillah, the question, if the woman here in America, here she wants to marry here in Stone Mountain, but her father is back in Africa, specifically in Nigeria. He's far, he's not in the country, but her brother is here. Can her brother marry her to whoever he sees suitable for her without the permission of her father, who may not even she have connection with, or he must get permission from her father? The answer is, Inam, Ahsanta, Abu Muhammad, he must have permission from her father. The ulama, they say, the awliya, the guardians, are like the inheritress, al-asaba. The asaba, those who, it's called asaba in the knowledge of inheritance, is the father, is the male close relative to the person. The male close relative. So, who is close to you? Your father. Your son. So, your parents, father, grandfather, all the way to Prophet Adam. Your son. Your grandson, all the way to the last one of a human being. Okay. Then, After parents, brothers. Full brother and brother from father's side, not brother from the mother's side. And then their children. The full brother and the half brother from father's side, their sons. Then the uncles. Uncles here means the brothers of the father. Then their children. All the way. So these are the Asaba lineage. So these are the awliya. So woman, her father is her wali, her grandfather is her wali, her son who reached the age of puberty, mature, is a wali, her brother is a wali, her cousin is a wali, her uncle is a wali, the like. But if these guardians are present, they are alive, they Muslims, and alive, the first wali is the father. With the presence of a father, no one can marry his daughter to anybody. No grandfather, who is a father? Not the daughter's, the lady's, naam. If her son grow up and he is mature, here the son. The father or the son? Actually, I need to look for this issue. If her son is mature. Her son is mature. She the father. Allahu alam. The origin is the father. Al-Muhim. So with the presence of a father, no one else can marry her to anybody. He's a Muslim. Okay. He's alive. Okay. He didn't make any negligence. He's the guardian. He's in Africa. He's in Asia. He's in Ukraine, he will be the wali. He should be contacted, he should be asked permission. He should be asked permission. And whoever he assigned, he may not assign for his son, her brother, he may assign somebody, the sheikh of the masjid, for instance. He is the guardian. Sometimes what happened, this man, this woman doesn't have connection, her father, this lady's father and mother already separated, is the mother who raised her up. The father has nothing to do with, he neglected them. All this, that's another issue. He's the guardian. Even, wal'iyadu billah, some women, they don't want to even make, the lady herself, she said, tell you, I don't have to do anything with that, with my father. I don't like him. Openly. Now, you talk about the issue of marriage, there I forget about the marriage. I don't remember marriage after that. I don't deal with marriage. I deal with her. You have a problem with your own father. الَّذِي خُلِقْتَ مِنْهُ You are a part of him, your own father. You have a real problem. Solve that. Make connection with your father. He neglected your right, don't neglect his right. Don't neglect his right. He's a father. You have to maintain the ties of kinship. Fix your problem with your mother, with your father, your parents. You are not succeeding in marriage and any other issue. You have a problem with your own father. You could disconnect him. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ أَبَدًا Even if he's not a believer, he's not your guardian, she's Muslim, he's not her guardian, but she has to fix the problem with her father. Allah كَمَانَ وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا Even if the father is a believer, he calls into shirk. The children shouldn't listen to him, but they have to take him as a friend when it comes to the worldly matters. In Islam, parents have high status. What about if the father is a Muslim? Not because of my mother doesn't like him. That's between them. The father, it is them. Sometimes you even don't know who is wrong, who is right. All Allah knows. If you can figure out, you find the one who is wrong, advise him, you're wrong. But that's me, you boycott the parents. You don't boycott your parents. So, ala kulli hal, Allah al-musta'an, wallahu a'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, barakallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, sahajimayin. Thank you.